less than an hour ago, Venus moved into Cancer, and I did literally feel like a visceral shift, because I feel like last night and this morning, there was like so much anxiety in the air, and I was like driving this morning, and I was like, oh my god, Venus is at 29 degrees of Gemini. And I feel like specifically, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but whenever Venus is finishing up some kind of, moment at the 29th degree, it doesn't even matter the sign. It's just like when Venus is in her last bit of a sign, I just get so, I don't know, like it just like messes with my energy or something. So this morning, about an hour ago, when Venus did move into Cancer, I was like, oh my god, like I literally felt that. I literally felt Venus move into Cancer, which is very good news. And I mean, I don't know, good news, but I mean, Venus doesn't love or hate Cancer. I mean, I guess she does fairly well in Cancer, but I was feeling like there was something here about this shift today coming in after the eclipse. Just because we all know Friday, Saturday is probably a little bit chaotic. It's probably a little rough. With the eclipse energy, there might have been some interesting surprises or changes that have kind of come in. And maybe we're still marinating with something that came in around 2.5 weeks ago on the Taurus solar eclipse, right? Because yesterday on Saturday, it was the Scorpio lunar eclipse, right? But in all this sort of tumultuous energy that is sort of filled with change and let's say transformative opportunities, I feel like that's like what eclipse energy presents us with. On top of that, last night and early this morning, we have Venus at 29 degrees Gemini. Now that Venus has moved into Cancer, it feels like they're in Cancer, which is the moon sign, right? And eclipse season does have to do with the moon. So there's something here about like Venus now bringing healing to that Cancerian kind of vibe and maybe helping us now figure out how to either recover from eclipse season or grapple with the changes that eclipse season has kind of brought into existence, right? And again, these changes don't have to be good, bad, exciting, depressing. Like, I mean, we don't have to assign such an extreme to the changes that are taking place in our lives right now. But at the same time, you know, what does human existence have a tendency to do? Assign extremes to our material circumstances, right? Because we're so often like tugged and pushed and pulled by like our emotions and our perceptions of different situations, right? Just like me this morning, as Venus is at 29 degrees Gemini and I'm feeling a lot of anxiety and blah blah blah. So that being said, Venus in Cancer being kind of like a healing salve that is coming in for us post-eclipse season. I'm thinking that I want to ask the group how the eclipse energy was. Did you notice anything on Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Were there any big shifts that came in? Laura, you said on my way to work Friday, there was a truck on fire on the interstate. And I was like, yep, that's about right. Yeah, totally, totally. And Mercury retrograde. We didn't even factor that in. But yeah, Mercury's retrograde in Taurus as well. Jess, you said there's so many hints about something shifting, but no actual shifts yet. You know, that's, I'm glad you said that, because that's also a manifestation, I think, of eclipse energy. And I noticed this when I was reading tarot at an event on Friday night, which is always interesting to, like, read for strangers on the day of an eclipse. And I did notice there was this air of, like, everybody planting or starting to give themselves permission to change, or starting to give themselves permission to plant something new. And that can be an eclipse energy too, right? And remember, like, eclipses are also new moons and full moons. And new moons and full moons are roughly sort of like this 6 month cycle, which, like, is like, all right, what was planted around the new moon in X sign, and then 6 months later, what evolves around the full moon in that same sign, right? So there's something here kind of coming to light or being illuminated, which is very much what an eclipse tends to do. And Corey, you said, F this damn eclipse, I brought some tough realities and now major life changes. That makes me so uncomfortable. Totally. Yep. Emmy, you said, you already know me, my story. I discovered my engagement ring was missing on Thursday, but found it yesterday. Oh, thank goodness. Vince, you said, both eclipses felt very high energy. The Aries eclipse was more visceral energy, and the Scorpio eclipse was more psychological. Also agreed that eclipses feel like behind the scenes peak. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that would be the nature of, like, sort of like that Aries Taurus stuff opposing Scorpio, kind of like the Aries Taurus eclipse kind of being the material change, and then maybe the Scorpio eclipse being like the psychological change that I don't know, that, like, accompanies these material changes. Lauren, you said, I was really emotional yesterday, and I faced a lot of things that I've been really running from feeling. Yeah. Okay, now I'm not feeling as crazy for last night and this morning, just feeling ungrounded. Sam, you said, it's been a whole lot, including seeing my soon-to-be ex-in-laws for the first time since 2019. Wow, yeah, that's eclipse vibes for sure. Noelle, you said, Chiron feels big shifts, saw a person dressed as a skeleton carrying a lantern Thursday night, totally. Katie, you said, I agree, heavy hints. I'm at the mercy of big changes I can feel and trust. Got dumped on the eclipse and feel like I actualized my Sam Jones era this weekend. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's definitely something there. You see, yeah, like, things are a little bit energetically chaotic at the moment, right? I mean, that is typically what an eclipse will bring in. But that energy of chaos, it's almost like sort of like the Big Bang. You know, the energy of chaos is what creates, like, the beginning of something. So I try to remember that during eclipse season, although I think it's possible to hold the nuance of, like, oh, this is the chaos that is birthing the new beginning, but also this is also chaos that is, like, sort of triggering grief or uncomfortable feelings or triggering sort of anxiety or my willingness or unwillingness to begin to shift something I want to shift. There's some vibes in the air, but the good news is that we have cleared the eclipses. Okay. They're cleared. Venus, again, just moved into Cancer about an hour ago. And I'm looking at this week's astrology, and there's something here that feels like Venus in Cancer is adding a salve to some kind of journey we are sort of finishing up. Here's the thing. Jupiter will move into Taurus very, very soon. It's in a little bit more than a week. We'll talk more about Jupiter and Taurus next week. But this is to say Jupiter is finishing up its time in Aries. It's in the final degrees of Aries. That is like big stuff. You know, there's like some kind of karma resolving in our final degrees of Aries, that final degrees lesson. Does anybody know what decan, what planet rules the last decan of Aries? If you do, comment below. But I think it might be Jupiter? No. Would it be Sun, Mars, Venus? I don't know. You tell me. Tell me. Someone comment below if you know it. So we got Jupiter finishing up its time in Aries. So there's some lesson in that Aries house that is finishing up. Then we've got the Sun approaching a conjunction with Uranus on Tuesday. Okay. What does that mean in English? This happens once a year. Okay. Once a year, the Sun will conjunct Uranus. Oh, thanks, Vince. I thought it might be Venus. Okay. So the last decan of Aries, which is the last 10 degrees or so of Aries, is ruled by Venus. Or is there a both a modern and a traditional view of the decans? Because there's got to be different rulership of the decans. But I think it can either be Jupiter or Venus. Anyways, regardless, that was just my own curiosity. I'm not actually going to attempt to interpret Jupiter specifically in the last decan of Aries ruled by whether it's Jupiter or Venus or Jupiter. But anyways, once a year, the Sun will conjunct Uranus. So this is kind of like I have to find like a new metaphor, because David Bowie is like my Uranus metaphor. In the sense that I just feel like David Bowie is such a Uranian kind of figure. Like the way he challenges societal conditioning and norms and sort of questions the truth with his music and with the way he dresses and appears and expresses their gender and blah, 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 right? Okay, so I feel like Uranus and the Sun in conjunction with each other in Taurus at 18 degrees on Tuesday. This feels to me like there's something going on with like sort of like our own inner David Bowie, if you will. Like there's some like pattern that we're breaking or some idea that we're initiating. Sometimes a conjunction can be kind of like a new moon initiation kind of energy. Although we've been having a lot going on in Taurus these past years, right? Because Uranus has been in Taurus since 2018. But specifically, it's sort of like the Sun is sort of coming up to the trigger of what has been happening in that Taurus house since 2018. So really think about that Taurus house in your chart in relation to this Sun-Uranus conjunction, and maybe kind of ask yourself, like, what's the evolving story? Also, at this point, Uranus is about halfway, a little over halfway through their time in Taurus, okay? So there's some kind of halfway point in the story with Uranus in Taurus's sort of narrative in our lives, right? So take a look at that that 11th house, or sorry, that's my 11th house. Take a look at that Taurus house of yours and kind of maybe think about what kind of story has been evolving there. Like, for instance, like, I guess I'll give a personal example, like Uranus being like David Bowie, the planet of change, the planet of kind of discomfort and deconditioning in a lot of ways, cycle breaking. That's been going on in my 11th house of groups, networks, and friendships. And there's been a ton of rearranging, you know, in my social circle in the past 5 years or so. Like, Uranus moved into Taurus while I was in Malaysia teaching English. I had recently met, like, 100 new people that were in my teaching cohort, in addition to hundreds of new people at my school that I taught at. And I was, like, meeting people while I was traveling. And also, these people were, like, changing my perspective on different things. And then, at the same time, during that year, I kind of had a breakup with my high school best friend. And that was very Uranus and Taurus moving into the 11th house, right? Because it's, like, you know, these changes that are coming in through, like, this kind of uncomfortable awakening. Sort of like the uncomfortable awakening that my best friend and I could no longer relate to each other on the same level. Or, like, the uncomfortable awakening that I was embarking on a healing journey that they may never actually embark on. Right? Like, that felt very 11th housey, Uranus and Taurus. And now, about 5 years out from that, I still have a lot of, like, shifting social circle kind of things, like, with being more involved in the astrology community, having to kind of be alert as to who in the spiritual community is actually aligned with, like, I don't want to say my energy, but there's a lot of kooks in the spiritual community, guys. I mean, there's a lot of, yeah, there's, like, there's some Trumpers out there. There's some anti-vaxxers in the in the spiritual community. So, like, having to be alert to that, having to be privy to, like, who, what allies you are making, you know, with your career path. I could go on and on about this, but yeah, check in this week. Like, there's some halfway point to the sort of chapter of Uranus and Taurus in that Taurus house for you. So definitely looking into that this week as well. But let's talk a little bit more about, I think, my sort of feature transit this week, which is Venus in Cancer. And it's kind of nice because I'm just noticing now that Venus is kind of approaching this nice trine to Saturn too. Like, Saturn's in Pisces, Venus is going to be approaching that trine to Saturn in Cancer. Like, you know, that's kind of a nice vibe. Let's ask for some tarot guidance with Venus in Cancer. Now, something that I think that inherently comes up with a transit through Cancer, especially Venus, who is the planet of, like, love and harmony and sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, harmonizing oneself to the other. Or, you know, a lot of Venus's vibe is sort of, how do I consider the other? How do I bring together? How do I bring myself together with the other? Whatever the other is. And in Cancer, we can actually see that sometimes becomes I hesitate to use the word codependent because I feel like it's such an overused word at this point. But, you know, Venus in Cancer kind of becomes a little bit energetically intertwined with the emotional energy of others, right? And I think Venus in Cancer can often maybe like self-sacrifice themselves or self-sacrifice something in a situation in order to serve another. So it's this kind of vibe of like, when I try to bring harmony, especially when I try to bring emotional harmony to someone else's conflict, someone else's problem, someone else's issue, and I balance that out for them, or I think I am, by bringing that help or that assistance, how do I also then imbalance myself? You know, because energy is neither created nor destroyed, right? It's only transmuted. So I think Venus in Cancer can, in other words, bring some attention to how we may be sort of deharmonizing, let's say, our own energy when it comes to trying to assist or be of service to others. I think when it comes to Venus being the ruler of like earthly pleasures, you know, Venus in Cancer kind of, for me, brings up how, you know, we're addicted to love or we're addicted to other people or the distractions of other people's problems. What's so interesting is, I, at work yesterday, I was talking about, Elizabeth Gilbert's, sort of, second book after Eat, Pray, Love. It was like the sort of, you know what word I'm looking for. It was sort of like the sister book of Eat, Pray, Love. It was like what happens after. And she said this on, different podcasts before, but she said like nobody wanted to read that book because, you know, Eat, Pray, Love was already everything. Like it was the single woman going out to Italy, to Bali, to, I forget the other place, India, and falling in love with someone. And it was everything. Sequel. Thank you, Jess. So when she wrote the sequel of, Eat, Pray, Love, which is called Committed, which is kind of like this interesting kind of examination of marriage, like she goes into like a bunch of stuff about the history of marriage and she narrates how her and, Felipe, who is the love interest in Eat, Pray, Love, end up getting married, even though they need like visas. And she goes into like their prenup and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So for some reason I was talking, that book came to mind yesterday. And I pulled up the audiobook on my, like, Audible. And this is sponsored by Audible. No, I'm kidding. and that's when I tell you that Audible is now sponsoring the Witch Church podcast. No, I'm kidding. I wish. But I was pulling it up on Audible. And I was showing my coworker. And then, thus, the audiobook was pulled up. Right? So then I get into my car to go home and to drive home after work. And my phone is hooked up to the Bluetooth in my car. So like I turn on my car and the book starts playing on Audible. And I was like, oh, this is weird. Like it literally just started in like a random place in the book. It was like chapter 4. And I'm hearing Elizabeth Gilbert kind of talk about, what I think she later will refer to as like her love addiction or her sort of really intense codependency, like that she often is very, she's just, it's so raw when she talks about like just how much love is like a drug to her, or like whatnot. So she's talking about that, and she was talking about how there were so many times in her life when love was a drug, or love was an addiction, or sort of other people and being kind of enmeshed into other people was sort of the saving grace of what she thought to be like her sort of saving grace, that ended up being what kind of eventually leads to a lot of issues, right, in her sort of path. So this is to say, I don't think it's a coincidence that kind of popped up, you know, right around the time Venus is entering Cancer. You know, there's just something here about the examination of how much we actually want to be intertwined with other people's emotional issues, you know, and when those things can become a distraction from our own selves. Now, on the flip side, okay, this isn't me trying to, like, rag on Venus and Cancer, because I think it's a beautiful transit. And I think it can be used really beautifully, because if we think about being of service to ourselves and nurturing ourselves and being in touch with our inner parent in a really intimate way, I think Venus in Cancer is like an amazing transit, right? Because it can kind of, it can help us point to where we are maybe afraid of receiving, which actually is Cancer's biggest fear, receiving. Because like Cancer is nurturing and giving, and at what end does that block them from receiving help from others, you know? You know, so there's something here about like Venus and Cancer maybe helping us get the help that we need. I don't necessarily mean that in a cryptic way. I mean, that could be, not that therapy is cryptic, but it could be someone like seeking help or joining some kind of group therapy or something like that. But I mean, seeking the help that we need, that might be within our own selves, like, you know, being the help that we need. Okay, I'm gonna go grocery shopping at the beginning of the week. I know I have some nurturing meals for myself, so I'm not gonna put myself in the position of like being starving and hangry and my inner child freaking out and blah 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 blah. You know, like that could be a very Venus and Cancer kind of thing to do. So I think there's something about giving ourselves sort of a Venus in Cancer meditation about potentially what we can give ourselves, or what we've been needing to give ourselves for a while, and potentially too where we've needed to ask for help with something for a while. And again, that doesn't have to be something like big. It could be like, I really just need to ask someone to drive me to work on Tuesday, because it's just, for some reason, the commute's stressing you out. Like, you know, it could be something really small. So thinking about that as well, and what's interesting, oh, Corey, you said, can we, Cancer ruling the stomach makes me think of love as consumable. Do we starve or gorge ourselves? Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, I'm a Cancer rising, so I could go on and on. Like, I know this lesson, you know, better than anybody, like this sort of overly giving to the point of like resentment, and then kind of being hit in the face with like, wait, this person or this situation didn't even ask that of me, you know? So like, why was I giving 120% to help this situation or to sort this out when that's not what was actually being called of me to begin with. So sometimes Cancer energy, the salve is actually sort of like a mind your own business kind of kind of thing. Because Cancer energy, nosy, you know, nosy. They want to know what's going on. They want to know how to fix it. They want to know how to, like, get to the solution, right? And what's interesting, too, is, like, Six of Wands comes out as sort of like a guidance card when it comes to Venus and Cancer. And this really, like, this makes so much sense to me because right now the Six of Wands is coming through as, like, you know, it's like the Six of Wands is coming through as, like, what can be achieved by focusing on our quote-unquote personal project. By achievement, I don't mean that in, like, a capitalistic sort of money, getting the A-plus kind of way. But, like, what can be achieved on our soul's path by, like, sort of focusing in on our personal journey and using this Venus and Cancer transit as sort of, potentially, like, a personal feat or a personal sort of accomplishment. Again, it's not accomplishment in, like, a capitalistic way. It's more of, like, this emotional thing or sort of this vibe that we're maybe focusing in on. And maybe asking yourself, are we willing to give our, like, very special, service-oriented, nurturing Venus and Cancer energy to others? And if that does feel aligned, okay. But I would say probably for the majority of us, we're probably meant to more direct that energy back to ourselves, right? But Emmy, you said with Cancer in the seventh, I've been feeling the opposite. I've been focusing on myself for a while, and I think it's time to get out of my house and help others for a change. That's valid. I mean, that's valid. I mean, I think, yeah, being a Capricorn rising, that Venus moving into the seventh house for you, yeah, that could have to do with, like, reconnecting with your partner, or maybe something is happening in your partner's life where, like, they need your support, or they're needing your Cancerian kind of energy or whatnot. I would still invite you to kind of reflect within that too about sort of the emotional, I hate this word accomplishment that I keep using, but the emotional feats that we've kind of sort of gone through, I think, in order to get to this Venus and Cancer transit. Sam, you said we're definitely nosy. Yeah. Corey, you said, I have a Cancer South node, so my Capricorn North node journey is allowing people to take care of themselves. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, that's so good. That might be what the Six of Wands is kind of alluding to. Like, what would happen if I didn't have to solve this problem for someone else? Or what would happen if I didn't have to be so emotionally invested in this part of this other person's journey? What would happen if I was just as emotionally, physically, spiritually invested in my journey and my vision? Like what would happen during this Venus and Cancer transit? Especially with that trine, initially that Venus and Cancer approaching the trine with Saturn in Pisces. I mean, like, Venus-Saturn stuff is, like, very much, like, building the solid long-term foundation, right? So whatever we do kind of use this Venus and Cancer transit for might be even longer term than we may think. Oh, and what's interesting too, guys, I mean, this is way out in the future, but not way out, I mean, it's June 5th. But it is kind of interesting too that Venus will move through Cancer, get into Leo, and enter immediately the opposition with Pluto in Aquarius. And I find that kind of interesting too. Like, ooh, what's the transformation that's coming from this Venus in Cancer sort of moment? Lauren, you said, I'm a Cancer rising with a Cancer North node. So this is feels like permission to emotionally ground myself in where I'm going. Oh yeah, totally, totally. I like that phrasing, the emotional grounding that the Venus and or the Cancer rising may need at times. Venzella, you said, love the word accomplishment. I've been working on something in secret for my spiritual growth, not money driven. Yeah, yeah, Cancer, and you're a Cancer rising too. Oh, that's funny, Venzella. Yeah, that makes sense. And Sarah, you said, whoa, Six of Wands is my card of the month. I think it might be my card of the month too. I have to double check. Yeah, I have to double check, but that might be, I'll DM you if it is. That's interesting. Yeah, I think there's some really beneficial personal focus that comes from the Six of Wands. Yeah. Like, and also where that personal focus can take us when it comes to initiating important things in our lives. Yeah, that's very Venus in Cancer. My friends, that's kind of my tea for this week. Tuning into Venus in Cancer, what does she want us to learn? How is she grounding us post-eclipse season? And also within this week's Sun-Uranus conjunction, which could be a moment of revolution and surprise, you know? So that is the question. And I'm excited to see where this Venus in Cancer transit takes us. Oh, Sam, you said in the Thoth deck, Two of Cups is associated with Venus in Cancer. Ooh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I like that. All right. Let's do some collective polls while you all are commenting below. I know you all know this already, probably, but my tarot class starts May 23rd. Would love to have you. If you have taken the class and you want to shout out the class to your friends, that is much appreciated. If you're interested but want to know more, feel free to DM me. If you're super, super interested but need a scholarship, you can also reach out to me. Yeah, so I'm excited for the Emperor cohort. That's going to be exciting. And what else? I think that's about it for right now. Oh, Sarah, you said, I like what you wrote about the Two of Cups in our tarot class materials, about the union with our higher selves. Yeah, yeah, totally. Noelle, you said, this Venus in Cancer is so on brand. Spent the morning journaling about love and relation to Chiron. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Pam, you said, could I please have a card for the week? Four of Pentacles. Four of Pentacles. I think this is a week to really look at the resources that you already have and how to maybe maximize those resources. So it maybe isn't necessarily a week to be in the mindset of like, I need more or I need the best next thing in order to move myself forward. What if you already have exactly what you need? And what would it be like to sort of revamp the resources that you already have? Yeah, it's sort of like, instead of buying a new couch, how can we like change up the current couch that you have with like different fabrics or different pillows? And I mean that both literally and metaphorically. You know, so do with that what you will. Sam, so you said, oh, Sam, I already read your comment. Alexandra, you said, can I have a card for the week? Also asking for good vibes for the outcome of tryouts today. Oh, yeah, I'm in full agreement that the tryout outcome is easy, flowing, and positive. And Alexandra, you got the Lovers. So, yeah, this Venus in Cancer transit may actually be a good moment for romantic connection or reconnection, whether that's with your spouse or reconnection with a friend or even reconnection with yourself after like a long time of being super busy and, you know, things like that. I mean, I don't always think that the Lovers comes through in a romantic context, but in this case, I'm getting the intuitive feeling that sort of like that romance and that sort of emotional intimacy and the sort of time, just quality time spent with those that you love is important this week. Corey, you said I would appreciate a card for the week. Yeah, let's do it. Ooh, wow. Okay, Corey, you got Page of Swords, Seven of Swords. I think you mentioned a bigger shift earlier in Witch Church, and what comes through with the Page of Swords and the Seven of Swords is being sure to ask yourself this week, like, can I really figure this out in the mind, or do I have to actually go out and physically experience something new? And I think you may find that you actually can't figure it out just by trying to figure it out mentally. Like, it's giving me the sort of, it's reminding me of, like reading directions of how to like put together a piece of furniture, but not actually having like the wood and the nails and the sort of screws in front of you. So like, what's the point in like sort of ruminating over the directions of this, of how to put this together when the parts aren't in front of you? It's like, we got to go out and find the parts before we try to figure it all out in the mind. That's what I'm kind of getting, Corey. Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card for Venus in Cancer this week. Yeah, let's do it. Aw, Queen of Cups, Lauren. Yeah, I think this goes along with like some of the emotions that you're facing and you're holding. And I just love this depiction of the Queen of Cups. Like, she's literally holding like sort of the energy of her heart chakra in this really loving and beautiful way. And I think you'll find this week too that these emotions that you've been facing, although it's scary to initially acknowledge them, I think it will only benefit you to acknowledge and hold these emotions. What may it require you to let go of some things, perhaps, but I still think it's beneficial always to acknowledge how we're feeling. Jess, can I have a card for some medicine or advice for next week? Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, Jess. Okay, the Fool and the Ace of Swords. Yeah, that makes sense. This makes sense because, like, you have so many Cancerian placements, Jess. So, you know, Venus is about to transit all of those Cancer placements. So, with the Fool and the Ace of Swords, I think there's, like, a fresh mindset to be had this week. I think there might be a risk that pays off. I think there might be some newness that you've been wanting for a while. And I know you, like, if you have the opportunity to jump, you will. Like, that's very Fool-like of you. And I think it's just kind of knowing which ideas and which downloads. It's like, which things that are entering my mind it's more like which ideas are downloads and which ideas are kind of like illusionary thinking, you know, and what's the difference? Like, so yeah, knowing which ideas are actually worth acting on. Laura, you said, I love a card for the week ahead. This whole driving to work 5 days a week is ruining my personal life. Yeah. the Empress. Okay. I'm thinking you may have to ask for what you need in this situation. So if you could potentially ask for a day where you work from home or you don't have to make the commute temporarily, that would be really beneficial. But at the same time, I think the Empress is like knowing her own boundaries around certain like not so fun things so that like she can have like pleasure and fun and sort of joy in her life. So with the commute situation, you may not have control of how long the drive is, but you may have control of like when you choose to leave the office. You know, you may have control of like, you know, the timing of when you, you know, cut yourself off from working or whatnot. So I think focus in on where you do have control, where you could ask for help around this situation, and knowing that I think that space that you're looking for to carve out the personal life stuff will come through. Like, it doesn't feel like it's never coming. It feels like it definitely is in a lot of ways. Marco, you said, I'm having a hard time not being able to focus on my own life without soaking up the problems of the people surrounding me and the problems that they're dumping on you. I'm exhausted. Any guidance? Yeah, Seven of Wands is coming up, Marco, which makes me feel... it makes me feel like there's some kind of priority that you need to bring back into your own life when it comes to like an important project or an important personal goal that you've been wanting to work on. And I feel like in focusing on this personal project a little bit more, you'll kind of have that natural excuse as to why you can't listen to this person, or like you can't necessarily go and like help this person at a drop of a hat. You're like, no, like I'm on my own journey. I'm sort of focusing on my own ambitions. That's what comes through. I think partially the ambition part of you really wants to come through, but at the same time, it's like all that ambitious energy is being given to, yeah, other people's stuff, right? And I don't know, sometimes we're better friends for saying, you know, hey, like, I want to help you with this, but I think I've helped you to my fullest capacity. And it's not to say you can't talk to me about this, but I do think that this is sort of a therapy kind of topic, or this is something that is beyond my pay grade. You know, like, I think there are times when it is appropriate to say that. And it's funny because I've read this one article about how therapizing language is like ruining friendships and like how like this whole like boundary speak of like, oh, like I can't answer this call, like you're sort of this is a boundary or whatever. Like, yeah, like there is that, but at the same time, I think a lot of us are striving to create healthier relationships in our lives, and that's what we have to remember. Boundaries are for like almost preserving the relationship, not pushing people away Does that make sense, Marco? I don't know. That just kind of came to mind. Katie, you said, sorry for the keyboard. Would love a card for the week ahead. Focusing on myself and my writing. Cancer moon. Seven of Pentacles. Yeah. Yeah, this is good. Like, I don't think... I think this week is just a good week to marinate in your own energy, Katie. Like, be careful of who you say yes to. Be careful of whose energy you allow in your space. Seven of Pentacles sometimes is sort of like I'm tending to the garden of my own self. And maybe, yeah. That's really what comes through. Be careful of the conversations that you choose to engage in, the people that you choose to let into your energetic space this week. And if you do feel aligned with just kind of having a hermit week, I say do it. Laura, you said Mal's tarot class is so good that I took it twice. thanks, Laura. And I, Johnson, you said a card about love. Yeah, let's see. Four of Cups feels to me like there's some kind of like... I think manifestation, especially with love stuff, requires us to, you know, be a co-creator with the universe. So we can't just like... manifest and be like, okay, yeah, I want this kind of person, and like, all right, universe, like, when are you delivering that person to my doorstep? You know, I wish it was that easy, but I think sort of meeting new people requires effort on our part. And I do wonder about like the patterns of like the places or the sort of locations that you've been meeting people, or maybe just the overall effort or lack thereof when it comes to like finding new places to go and showing up in new places and kind of showing up in new spaces. And granted, I know just as much as the next person, dating is very frustrating and energetically exhausting. So I do understand that sometimes we don't have the energy to put ourselves out there. But that makes me feel with the Four of Cups, like there's just some sense of like waiting. And maybe you are waiting for yourself, maybe, to change the pattern. That's what I'm kind of getting. Sam, you said I would appreciate a card for the week ahead and praying for a less cuckoo week than last week. Yeah, totally. Eight of Cups. Oh, God. This is my favorite Eight of Cups card ever. So I think that it's like kind of like permission. Give yourself full permission to whatever happened last week. I think with the in-laws or whatever, it just feels more about them than it is about you. It's like more about their own projections. And I think there's just such radical permission right now to not take things personally, to not let whatever happened last week take you out of the really important nuance that you're holding for yourself at this moment, which is like there's this huge loss and letting go and grief that you're going through. But something that I really admire about you, and you're like so good at holding the nuance with like, and where can I have fun, and where can I find pleasure, and where can I still focus on friendships and myself, and like, I guess don't let other people's opinions of you or other people's opinions of the situation be taken personally and keep you from the really, yeah, beautiful nuance that you're holding for yourself in this moment. Sarah, you said, may I have a Venus in Cancer card? Yeah, absolutely. Two of Swords. Yeah, because you're Sag rising. So Cancer is your eighth house. So I think here with the Two of Swords coming through for Venus and Cancer, I think there's a lot of divine communication that is happening during this transit. I think you're sort of downloading a lot, or maybe in communication with the higher self, your spirits, your guides, your ancestors, even more than usual. And I think that can be a really beautiful thing, but it may make you appear a little bit aloof to the outside world. Like, maybe your friends are like, hey, like, why haven't we hung out in like a month? And you're like, sorry, like, I've just been talking to the fairies. So there's some kind of aloofness that you're dealing with when it comes to, like, how do I balance my spiritual practice with also being a part of this humanly realm, right? Brianna, I'm excited for tarot class too. So pumped that you're going to join. And Noelle, you said, I would love a card needing to do a hard thing by releasing energy and speak my truth with my parentals. Yeah, that's annoying. Death card. Yeah. I mean, I think there's full permission. I do think that, like, whatever you're speaking your truth about, it feels very, see, Sun Uranus conjunction. You know, like, that's exactly a Sun Uranus conjunction in the sky here. But I think this is a new chapter, actually, for both you and your parents, with the death card coming through. Like, there might be some initial grief, some initial sort of discomfort with the integration of whatever you're sort of sharing with them. And maybe there's some initial, yeah, anger, sadness, uncomfortable feelings, maybe even grief. But ultimately, I think this conversation is the beginning of a different kind of relationship that you want to have with your family and your parents, which could be really beneficial. Alice, you said, I'm late today. I'm just giving good vibes to everybody. Aw, sending that right back to you, Alice. What deck is this? This is the Sacerdotisa Tarot by Staja Burrington. You can get it on Etsy. Sacerdotisa is Sasuraibito. Samantha Menzo, who's a YouTube tarot reader, she calls this the Saucy Burrito Tarot, which is funny. She's actually the one who turned me onto this deck, because I'm not actually like an anime kind of gal, but I love this deck so much. The artwork is just so cool. I'm glad that was helpful, Sam. I'm thankful for you too. And Noelle, you said, wow, thank you. It's definitely a death moment. Absolutely spot on. Oh, totally, totally. Well, my friends, I have a busy day ahead. So I'm going to blast right on time. But I will post the recording to Instagram and the podcast if you didn't catch the beginning. And I'm sending you all good vibes. I hope Venus in Cancer is healing for you in some way. Next week, we'll talk about the transition into Jupiter in Taurus. If you come across anybody on the street who is looking for a tarot class in the next couple weeks, please send them my way. That'd be much appreciated. And I'm super thankful for our community. And we'll talk next time. Okay, guys? Bye-bye.